Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study in the model prayer, we were talking about the things that could either hinder our prayer life or enhance it. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The next thing which we have already covered in this study is found in verses 14 and 15. That is, an unforgiving spirit. But in that verse 12, ask forgiveness, we know by it and other verses of Scripture that unconfessed sin prevents answers to prayer. Is it not interesting that when Christ taught us how to pray, He also taught the things that might hinder our prayers? My friend, an unforgiving spirit, unconfessed sin, will hinder your prayers. Now the third thing we find is found in verses 16 through 18 and tied in with verses 5 and 6. Those people that are praying to be seen of men, to impress people. And we call that pride praying. And that is a third thing that will prevent answers to prayer and will cause God's disfavor. The outward appearance of prayer and praying aloud and in the disfigurement of their faces to appear unto men to fast made them think, oh, boy, people will think I'm spiritual. Well, verse 5, verse 16 shows they have their reward. Look at it again. Verily I say unto you, verse 5, they have their reward. Verse 16, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Oh, they fasted, they made themselves a sad countenance, they disfigured their faces, made people know they were fasting. In verse 5, they had prayed in the synagogues, in the corners of the streets, wore these long flowing robes. They were going to impress people. Well, they did. And that was their reward. That's all the reward they get out of that kind of praying. There's no eternal reward for that. There's no real answer to their prayers. Now, that does not mean that public prayer is wrong. What it means is the purpose may be wrong. If there's another thing to see in that passage, it is that the secret to individual prayer is to pray in secret. Now that we have prayer principles from Christ, let us see it applied for the church in just one place in the New Testament. Although there are others, we'll look in Philippians 1, 3 through 5, where it says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, first we see thanksgiving in verse 3. The church prayed fervently for Paul, and he knew it. And, you know, we need our churches to pray for those that are in leadership, in ministry. I want your church to pray for the Lamp and Light ministry. Make me a request at your church for prayer for this ministry. We may not always like the personality of someone that preaches the gospel, but the real question is, are they preaching the word? That is why, as in the case of Paul, that we never allow a prayer group in a home become critical of any person or ministry of the church. That is never commended in the Bible, and it is really an abomination. It's certainly not good, spiritually speaking. And that's too often what happens in prayer groups. They become gossip centers. And once they become a gossip center, that prayer group is an abomination. Never allow critical comments of your church or of preachers, of Christians, fellow believers, in the prayer group. Now, notice that Paul lets them know he prays for the local church at Philippi. He said that he made requests. As a matter of fact, that word request there, always in every prayer of mine for y'all, making request with joy, has the idea of specific requests. Paul didn't just say, bless them, Lord. No, it was more than that. Although the particular requests are not listed, he did pray for them particularly. As a matter of fact, if you go in Ephesians chapter 1, it'll show you how he prayed for that church at Ephesus specifically. In a day when programs, publicity, and promotions characterize much of the Lord's work, it should be emphasized that no lasting work will be accomplished for God without prayer. His words must abide in us, and we must abide in him. In Isaiah 45:11, he says, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the works of my hands. Command ye me. That is power when you abide and ask according to what he says to ask. Abide in his words, and let his words abide in you and control your life. And as his words abide in you and they're thought on, meditate upon, they control you and you respond to them, then you'll ask the way you ought to ask and you'll ask for what you ought to ask. And you'll see that you have power in prayer. Now, he makes this request, we're told, with joy. The word joy in Philippians here means exuberant joy. That word joy appears 19 times in this short epistle. Often, the book of Philippians is called the Epistle of Joy. However, the name of Jesus Christ appears over 40 times in this epistle, showing us that he, then, is the source of joy. Happiness, well, it comes from what it means. The word happiness means happenings. Happiness comes from happenings. That's what it's a derivative of. Joy, however, is not dependent upon happenings. It depends upon our relationship within us with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the deeper it goes, the greater the joy. Joy, my friend, is an inside job. Circumstances do not affect it. Paul is rejoicing as he writes this letter to Philippi from prison. And that leads to verse 5 there. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now is what he's rejoicing about. The first day until now is 10 years of time that he's talking about. The word fellowship in Greek, koinonia, and that was a word used in speaking of a marriage bond at times. It is the bond that held two together. It's a partnership. It's a holding in common. We think of the marriage bond of let not man put asunder. That's a fellowship. And that's the kind of fellowship that he had with fellow believers in the local church. You see, Bible fellowship is not speaking of having a party. It's speaking of a partnership. Again, don't be too quick to divorce your local church. When you come into the fellowship of the local church, you are coming into a bond that is built on the love of Christ. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another, and by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. Yes, my friend, that is God's way, and that is God's word. Don't become a church tramp. We are in a joint participation of evangelism at home and abroad. To the local church, we should seek to evangelize and edify one another within our locale. That kind of work has no room for gripers, gossips, and grumblers. Is it not interesting that fellowship is tied to prayer for one another? And if we're not praying for one another in our churches, then we don't have true biblical fellowship. And my friend, if you're not praying for the brothers and sisters in your church, you are failing your church in the area of biblical fellowship. We have many ministries in our church that need prayer daily. And we need people who are retired or work during the day, but they have no ministry that they're doing at night, to get involved in a prayer ministry. You can pray for others and with others, as well as praying alone. In our church, we have them pray for the pastor and staff, the children's churches, the bus ministry, our teen ministry, our Christian school, our radio ministry, our Sunday school classes, our deaf, our finances, our mission, our music, our master children's program, all those things, nursery. And I'm not giving that in order of importance. All ministries are of God and for His glory. And that's why we wanted our church. But that's those ministries that you have at your church need prayer. Every one of them should be a prayer ministry. We need people to either open their homes for special prayer meetings each week in their churches, or they may just want to come to the church and meet other than Sunday or Wednesday night to pray, because God's house should be a house of prayer. And we need people that will use that time for the serious business of prayer and not use prayer as an afterthought or just a time of getting together for coffee and donuts. And especially it can't become a time for griping or gossip, murmuring or muttering. If it does, then that prayer meeting becomes an abomination and it loses the power of God and His answers to prayer. If we believe that it's the last days, and I believe it is, then it's time we get down to the serious business of prayer. My friend, God loves you, and He wants a deep relationship with you through the Word of God and prayer. Normally at this time in our broadcast, as I conclude something, I like to share the plan of salvation. But at this time, I'd like to challenge every believer that listens to this broadcast to make the lamp and light a part of your daily prayer life. More than just bless them, Lord, ask God to specifically do things for us, to expand this ministry, to supply its needs spiritually and financially, supply the people we need, the equipment we need, to give the expansion, give us more people listening, for it to be effective and to glorify God. We need people to pray specifically like that for the lamp and light. And you need to pray for your local church in the same manner. And my friend, will you do that? If you will, I would like for you to write me and just say, "Brother Andy, I am praying for the lamp and light broadcast specifically." And if you'll do that, that'll just be such an encouragement to us. Our announcer will be giving you our physical address or our website by which you can email me through the website, and I'd like to hear from you. Well, I see that my time is up, and I want to thank you for listening today to the Lamp and Light broadcast. Please ask your friends to listen to the broadcast, because that's how the Lamp and Light grows. And my friend, please allow the lamp of God's Word to be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.